Great. You could have that passage open in front of you, and let me pray as we look at it together. We've just sung, "Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory." And so we pray, Lord God, speak to us, mold us, shape us, build us by your word, that through us the world may incredibly come to see your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember the experience? I'm sure it happened to all of us at one time as a young child, of suddenly becoming lost, separated from your parents. Perhaps you're in a shop or at the zoo or on a crowded beach. One moment you were with them, but you got distracted by something interesting. You wandered off a little bit. Perhaps you thought the person just behind you was your mum, until suddenly you turned around and it was a total stranger. Your mother, your father, nowhere to be seen. You've become separated. You are lost and alone. Did you run around frantically? Did you immediately burst into tears? "I want my mummy!" Did this experience of being separated last for a few seconds or some minutes or a couple of hours? Those of us who are parents will know the experience from the other way around, of becoming separated from your child. "Where's Max?" And the sudden surge of adrenaline. It happens to Ellen and I quite often at the back of church on a Sunday. The subject of separation is one that our reading from Ephesians this morning addresses. Paul writing to the Christians at Ephesus, reminding them of their past life, says, "Remember that once you were separated from God." Verse 12 of our reading, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." You were lost, says Paul. And not just for a moment, but permanently separated, without hope, without God, cut off from your Creator, alone in this world. Separated because of your sins, the great barrier of sin that has enforced the separation. And also, Paul is writing to Gentile Christians, separating because as Gentiles, they had no way even to symbolically approach God, the living God, as the Jews did, separated from God. But the separation that Paul describes here is not only a separation of humanity from God. It is also a separation of humanity from humanity. Specifically in this case, the great separation between Jews and Gentiles. A division across which it was almost impossible to cross. Verse 12, Gentiles were excluded. Verse 11, the Gentiles were called the uncircumcised by those who called themselves the circumcision. And you see just in that one sentence, a division leading to suspicion and hostility and hatred, both ways, which existed for centuries and, of course, continues today, as we're well aware. That's the specific separation that Paul is talking about. But, of course, it's just one example of a greater human tendency to erect barriers between ourselves, to separate, to make a clear distinction between us and them. We create divisions for social, for religious, for racial reasons, and as well as for all sorts of other squabbles that see families divided, their neighbours at war, churches with great splits down the middle. And this is the world that Paul describes His world, our world. A world where we're alienated from God and alienated from one another. Some people say the Bible isn't very relevant, but it seems very relevant on this point. Now, of course, Paul didn't write these chapters just to make us depressed, but to bring out the wonder of the gospel, the good news that comes after the bad news. Verse 11, this is what you were formerly in the past. Verse 13, those great words, but now. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. And two things from this passage, two headings. The first we'll do quite quickly, the second we'll spend a bit longer on. The first is this. Christ died to bring us to God. Christ died to bring us to God. Once you were separated, says Paul, without hope, without God, far away, but now through the blood of Christ, through his death on the cross, you have been brought near. This is the gospel. This is the simple gospel. If you go across to the church hall and go and talk to some of the all-stars who are meeting as we speak, or if you go across to Sir Nick's house and to chat to the Pathfinders where they are, and you were to say to them, why did Jesus die? Then many of them would say something along the lines of, he died so that we can know God. He died so that we can be friends with God. He died so we can be forgiven. Christ died to bring us to God. It's the simple gospel. Just because it's simple doesn't mean that we'll ever move on from it. We never graduate from this. We shall spend the rest of our lives exploring the depths of this gospel, letting it truly sink in and change us, finding new ways to look at it. In fact, I wonder if you notice the different ways that our nearness to God is expressed in this passage. Verse 13, we've already read, we have been brought near through Jesus. Verse 18, through Jesus we have been given access to God. That's a slightly different image. It's slightly closer. Not just brought near, but ushered in, given access to the very presence of God. It implies a right of access, a freedom to come and to go and to come back again. It makes me think of the church office. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but the church office, just across in the church hall, Mandy Maskell's office, it's controlled by a special fingerprint, a handle. We were terribly excited about it when we first got it. We felt like we'd suddenly entered the space age. And unless you've been given access, unless your fingerprint has been scanned in, unless Mandy has given you access, you are on the outside. On Sunday mornings I arrive and there's normally someone who comes up and says, I need your fingerprint. And I'm dragged off, not for me or my personality or anything, just my fingerprint. In fact, I've recently been upgraded to administrator level on the keypad. I can program your fingerprint in too. I can give you the right of access to the Holy of Holies. Mandy Maskell's office, you can gaze upon the beauty of the rotas that are on her wall. Through Christ, we have been brought near. Verse 13. Verse 18, through Christ we have been given access. And then verse 22, right at the end of our reading, in Christ we become, in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. An even greater intimacy, an even greater privilege, an incredible surprise. It would be surprising enough if we were to get to live in God's house. It is even more surprising that we get to be the home in which God chooses to live. Christ died to bring us to God. That's the first thing. That's the gospel. And this too is the gospel. Secondly, Christ died to bring us together. Christ died to bring us together. Verse 14. He himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. In the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, there were various sections, inner and outer courts, all the way up to the Holy of Holies at the very middle. And in the Holy of Holies was not lots of rotas, but the Ark of the Covenant, symbolizing the very presence of God. And as you entered the temple, the first section was called the Court of the Gentiles. Anyone could go into that section, Jews or Gentiles. It was lower down. You could look up. You could see further in what was going on. But as you went further in, there was a wall. It was a low wall. And it marked the end of the Court of the Gentiles. Beyond this wall, only Jews could go. And there was a notice. In fact, the notice repeated along the wall, and it read simply this: trespassers will be executed. Not a very friendly note, well, not polite notice, please do not. Trespassers will be executed. A barrier. A dividing wall of hostility. A separation of us and them. And Jesus Christ, says Paul, has done two things. He has been involved in demolition and construction. He has destroyed something old and he has created something new. He has destroyed the barrier. Verse 14, he has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. That the barrier was not just the literal wall in the temple, it was ultimately the law, the Jewish law. And I want to think just for a couple of minutes about that. The law was a gift from God. It was a gift from God to the Jews. It was intended to show them how to live rightly in relationship with God, how to flourish, how to be a light to the nations. It was intended to be a blessing to the people of Israel, and through them a blessing to the world. But it had become a reason for superiority, a cause of pride and prejudice. Think of the parable that Jesus told of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Remember the Pharisee standing next to the tax collector? What did he pray? He said, "I thank you, God, that I am not like other people." Like that tax collector down there. I obey the law. And that was within the Jewish people. It was much worse with the other nations. The law was meant to mark out the people of God as different. But in their mind, different had come to mean better, superior. And so the law, although it was a good thing, had to go. Jesus Christ abolished it when he died on a cross. No longer would relating to God be through the law with its commandments and its regulations, a law for only one people. From now on, there would be only one way to relate to God, through faith in Jesus Christ, not observance of the law. One way for all people, no one superior to anyone else, the barrier destroyed. And it's worth pausing to ask, where we erect barriers on the basis of difference. Where do we take perhaps good things about us and use them to make us feel superior? where we did not just say, I am different, but I am better. It's a human tendency. Perhaps it's our background. Maybe you had certain privileges in your background, your education, your family life, good things. And you use them to feel superior to those from different backgrounds and to make others feel inferior. Maybe it's your Christian background. Maybe you've been fortunate enough to be blessed with some wonderful teaching, some Christian upbringing in the past, or a particular experience or style of church, a tradition that you valued, and you take that good thing and you feel superior and you make others feel inferior and you build a barrier. Perhaps we're in particular danger of this in the Church of England. Someone once sent me a picture of the Church of England logo, and it looked just like the normal Church of England logo, and underneath it, it said this. It said, the Church of England, worshipping God in a slightly superior way since 1534. But it's not just looking down on other denominations. These things happen within churches. Different groups, valuing different, often good things, looking down on one another, building barriers. Jesus Christ came to destroy and to demolish such barriers. Because there's no difference, no ultimate difference that really matters. There's one way to relate to God through Jesus Christ. And in that we are all equal, no one superior to anyone else. Jesus Christ came to destroy the barriers. And he also came to create. Look at verse 15 with me. Verse 14, he's destroyed the barrier. Verse 15, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. There's a difference between keeping peace and making peace. I know this is a parent. Sometimes in the heat of an argument between siblings, a war breaking out in front of you, separation is a good tactic. You stay there. You go there. Stop arguing. Be quiet. In parts of the world, this has become a necessary approach. Peacekeepers, whose job is to keep warring factions apart. But peacekeeping is not the same as peacemaking. And Jesus Christ did not just come to destroy barriers of hostility, but to make peace, and to do it by creating something new. And Paul uses different images in this passage. Verse 15, he created one new man. Verse 16, one body. Verse 19, one people, one family, one building. In all of this, we are one people at peace. Verse 14, he is our peace, who has made the two one. Jesus Christ created one body, the church. Because there is only one way to relate to God. And so we're in this together. We're alongside each other. We're sinners saved by grace. Verse 18, for through him we all, there is no difference, have access to the Father. Christ died to bring us to God. Christ died to bring us together. And as we finish, I want to be realistic for a moment and then practical. Firstly, realistic. There are many issues over which Christians disagree. Many of them are not very important, and some of them are important. There are differences over theology, differences over Christian lifestyle that do matter, and where in good conscience, in obedience, we may have to say, I cannot be united with you on this. We will always do that reluctantly, as a last resort, with humility. But in speaking about unity, we mustn't be naive. We're not just saying it doesn't matter what you believe, can't we just all get on? True unity has greater content than that. And we're sinful. All of us, we're less than perfect. And so our ability to relate to each other is less than perfect. And so this side of eternity, there will always be divisions in the church, in this church, in every church. That should grieve us. It shouldn't surprise us. But Christ died to destroy all the barriers of hostility, to create one new unified people at peace. Where are we erecting new barriers? Where are we undoing his work of peace? That's the realistic bit. Now the practical. And three applications. There are many others you could draw, but three related to St. Nick's. And the first is this. Come to church. And I'm going to be direct, and I haven't got time to be nuanced. Come to church every week. If church is about me receiving personal inspiration, then I'll only come to church when I feel like it. If church is about an opportunity for me to exercise my particular gifts, then I'll only come when I'm on the rota. But if church is about the new community that God is building, a dwelling within which he comes to make his home by his Spirit, then I will be here as often as I possibly can. The author Tony Payne has written a little book about church, a very short book, and he writes about the powerful statement that we make when we simply turn up to church. He says, every time I walk into church, I am wearing a metaphorical t-shirt that says, God is important to me, and you are important to me. And on the back, it says, and that's why I wouldn't dream of missing this. Secondly, get involved. Build relationships. You don't know everyone. You can't know everyone. Get to know some people. Join a home group. Find a way to serve. Find a new way to serve. If you want to grow as a Christian, if you want to join in with what God is doing, then do it in community. Do it alongside other people, sinful people, annoying people, different people, difficult people, just like you. Get involved. And lastly, embrace the difference. Of course, we all gravitate in church towards people like us. And in a large church like St. Nick's, we need some people like us, and some of them will become close and lifelong friends. But it must not stop there. Find someone different. Put to death the attitude that says, I'm different, therefore I'm better, or I'm different, therefore I'm worse. There's no ultimate difference between us. So embrace the difference. Find someone different, from a different group, or a different background, or a different stage of life. Break down the barriers. Invite them to your home for lunch. Pray for them during the week. Look out for them next week. Just small steps, which are part of a much bigger picture. A glorious picture of what God did, what he is doing through Christ and in the gospel, because Christ died to bring us to God. And Christ died to bring us together. Let's pray. So Lord, forgive us for where we erect barriers that you have demolished, where we build them up again. And we pray for us. We pray for us here at St. Nick's. Pray for churches that we might be a part of if we're a visitor this morning. Bind us together. Build us together into one united people. A holy temple with Jesus Christ our cornerstone. A dwelling place in which you live by your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.